It is the KS Arto Good Food Hour. I'm Steve Garner. Welcome to another edition of our show, 30 Years and Counting, along with everyone's favorite chef, John Ash.
Whoa, thanks.
I don't know if that's actually true.
It's true. Yes,
so
it's absolutely true.
I have a question for you this morning and for our listeners. What is the most visited winery in the United States of America? Any idea what the most visited winery is in the United States of America?
Montecito.
The Biltmore Winery, believe it or not, in Charlottesville, North Carolina, the most visited one. And I had the privilege of tasting one of their sparkling wines last week. And that trivia question is because we're going to be focusing on the wines, once again, of the East Coast today. And we want to welcome Grant Crandall. Raise your hand, Grant, so we know who you are in the blue shirt. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Appreciate being back.
Very nice to see you again. And David Barber, raise your hand.
David's
in the light blue shirt this morning. And both of you hail from the East Coast of the United States.
That's correct.
And both of you are members of a very interesting organization. Describe it to our listeners.
Well, it's the Atlantic Seaboard Wine Association. We put on the largest wine competition focused on East Coast wines. We also have been putting on the largest long-standing festival, wine festival on the East Coast. This is our 43rd year. And we have a reception on at Congress with the Congressional Wine Caucus to highlight these top wines. Basically, we were founded in 1973 to promote high-quality wines, which at that time period meant bringing vinifera in to replace many of the old French-American hybrids.
And Grant is the president, current president of the association.
That's right.
And David, you're in charge of the competition.
Correct, the competition chairperson.
And did you just finish having a competition?
We had, in August, we had our 13th Atlantic Seaboard Wine Competition, and we were just under 500 wines entered from anywhere of the 17 states touching the Atlantic, which qualify in our definition of Atlantic Seaboard.
How many wines?
We actually 467, just under 500.
So how many wineries are there on the East Coast?
Just over 2,000.
Wow, really?
Yep.
Well, it's funny because when we first had you on in 2010, it was over 900.
Yes.
Over 900. Mm. Now, in the past 8-9 years, over 2,000.
There's an explosion.
Wow. So it's fascinating, and we'll talk. Obviously about, because you brought along some really interesting wines for us to try. We never see East Coast wines out here.
That's true.
I mean, probably it's because this is our wine country. But why, don't you think?
Well, there are a couple larger wineries, but most of the wineries are small. California would be calling them boutique size. 5,000, 6,000 case production is probably a good average, if not on the high side. Some wineries are only 1,000 cases or even less. And a lot of them started out as mom and pop or a hobby or something. And most of the wine is direct-to-consumer or wine clubs sold wine right into the wine. So there's not much distribution because there's not much volume of the wine available.
And just to add a few statistics to that, whereas 90% of the wine that's sold in this country is sold through distribution, on the East Coast, 70% is sold direct to consumer. And of that, 68% is sold right at the winery site in the tasting room and another 15% in the wine club. So it's the business model is simply different on the East Coast. We have a concentration of population. If you go from Atlanta to Boston, you have a tremendous population concentration, and that concentration is typically within 2 hours of a winery, of the wineries, of the area where there are wineries. So that there, you can be a smaller winery and survive as long as you make decent wine. People will come to your area.
You know,
you don't have to distribute. You make a better margin.
It's kind of the European model, the cellar door, where you drive by and it's like, well, it looks interesting. Let's go try it. And,
precisely.
Yeah.
It seems to be much more a personal ownership. With, I think, feeling that it's your local neighborhood winery, so to speak, and you support it that way.
Well, that's right. The locavore movement around food and eating local, drinking local has become far more common.
The vinifera wine grapes still have a big impact on the East Coast wines that are produced.
Yes, we're growing a lot of vinifera, but we have to be special awareness of clonal variety, microclimates of where they're planted, because it still gets below 0 degrees quite often, especially earlier this year. And as you know, Chardonnay and other vinifera, if it goes below 0 degrees for a couple of days in a row, you kill the vine. So, not next year's growth, but the whole vine.
So for those who may not know, when you say vinifera, what does that?
Vinifera is your Cabernet Sauvignon, Cabernet Franc, mm-hmm. Chardonnay, Viognier.
These are the classic
European grapes.
The classic European grapes, yeah.
And at this point now, about 3/4 of the wine on the East Coast is vinifera, and only about 1/4 of it hybrids. But the particular vinifera varietals are a bit different. And that's because we have the cold winters, we have the humidity during the summer, and that causes disease problems, mildews and rots and the like. And so you need to have varietals that handle those situations. So what we brought you today was actually some of the varietals that are vinifera, with the exception of the first wine we're going to do, that are popular and being grown more widely on the East Coast because they can handle those conditions. And thus the vinifera that we have that dominate in our area are somewhat different than the vinifera that dominate out here.
So this is just a kind of off-subject question, but there are also lots of Native American grapes. Mm-hmm. And are any of those turned into wine?
Yes, definitely. North American continent is happy to have the most indigenous grape varieties in the world. And we use a lot, basically it's the rootstock has all started from there, the Vitis riparia. There's also some native groups, Labrusca, Vitis labrusca. Everyone thinks of that as the Concord jelly and Niagara jelly. That's the Labrusca grape, which is basically Pennsylvania Northeast. That's where that's native. There's also Vitis estivalis, which most people don't know about. It's one major grape variety. The Norton grape is there.
Oh, yeah.
And that became very popular once it was discovered in the mid-1800s, all on the East Coast, making the big red wine for all the East Coast wine industry in the 1800s, 1900s, until Prohibition.
And Norton was pretty much the grape, wasn't it?
Yes.
It's very prolific.
Yes. At that time, it was called Virginia Claret. And after Prohibition, it came back as Norton.
I remember we tasted one called Norton the Pig. What was that? Is that different than Norton?
That may just be a proprietary name.
Oh, take off on that. Do you remember that there was Norton the Pig?
Yeah, it was kind of wine. So, but those wines are still available.
Oh, yes.
And in the scheme of things, like in your competitions and things like that, do they score well?
Yes. Basically, we have qualified judges, and the judges have to be able to judge all kind of varietals. Mm-hmm. And basically, any wine can win a gold medal or best of category or whatever. They have to be able to look for quality of the wine, not necessarily the style of the wine or the origin of the grape. The quality of the wine in the glass is what we're looking for to award.
So I just wrote down the varietals of wine that we have tasted on the show over the last 9 years.
Did you keep track? Oh, yeah. Good for you.
Okay, so here they are. Lemberger, Marquette, Norton, Chamberson, Traminette, Cynthiana, Louise Swenson, Vignol, Marshall Foch, Vidal Blanc, Baco Noir, Dornfelder, La Crescent, Chardonnay, Petit Mansin, and Concord.
Yep.
Well, before 2010, I had heard of Norton. And Concord.
Yeah.
That was about it.
That is one thing that characterizes the East Coast. There are more varietals that are produced and consumed on the East Coast. There doesn't seem to be quite the necessity to focus just on Cabernet and Chardonnay and Pinot Noir. But really, there's this whole spread of varietals that are popular.
And I think you brought a Petit Mansin today?
We brought two.
Oh, well, let's take a break.
Yeah.
I'm parched. Ready to do a little bit of sipping. The very exciting show. And we always get calls and emails afterwards like, yeah, really enjoyed the show. Where can I where can I try these? And I know that in years past, you did do a tasting up at the Healdsburg Wine Society.
We've had a couple regional tastings. This year, we have been at the Unified Wine and Grape Symposium pouring wines.
That's in Sacramento, Davis?
In Sacramento, yes. Uh-huh. Locally, we've had some in the past. We have not this year. But we're anxious to do things and available for next year. Maybe we'll do something as a local tasting.
Because the wine line library certainly been a bit supporter for your efforts.
Yes. But there are wine roads and trails. If you're going east,
yes. Yeah. Well, every state has whatever region is has a specific wine area, wine trail.
Yeah.
Finger Lakes. Each lake has a different wine trail for their wineries.
And some of these wines are available by ordering through the wineries.
Because you can ship into California, so that's not a problem.
Right.
But I think the ones, if people know that love and enjoy wine, they would say Finger Lakes, New York. I know about those Rieslings. I've tasted those. Wouldn't you say that might have the broadest national appeal, those wines?
Finger Lakes is probably the best-known area, and Riesling the best-known grape, because on an international scale and national scale, it competes so well.
The Atlantic Seaboard Wine Association. Two guys from that great organization are with us this morning, and we'll be tasting some of the great varietals grown on the eastern portion of the United States. We're not going to taste 17 different wines from 17 different states.
What?
Although, well, if we had all afternoon, we could do that. Steve Garner, along with Chef John Ash, in the KS Ardo Kitchen this morning.
Weather every 10 minutes mornings, every 30 minutes all the time on FM News Talk Radio, 103.5 FM and 94.5 FM, KSRO.
Do healthy eating habits fit into your New Year's resolution? Then shop the Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market for fresh local produce. It's important to know where your food comes from, and you can meet the local farmers and ranchers who raise quality, locally grown food products for you to enjoy. At the market, you can savor a variety of delicious prepared foods. The market offers fresh local ingredients for healthy dinners, a variety of quality meats from beef, chicken, and pork to seafood, along with seasonal fruits and vegetables. Taste the local goat cheese from Two Rock Valley Goat Cheese. Sample the wonderful baked goods, jams, spices, and pastas. Everything you need to create memorable, healthy dinners is at the Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market. Open year-round, rain or shine, Wednesdays and Saturdays, 8:30 till 1 at the Luther Burbank Center for the Arts. The Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market, where it's always fresh, local, and fun.
Hey, it's me again, your radio. Have you noticed about any form of entertainment these days digs a big hole in the family budget? I mean, whether you catch a ball game, hit a movie, or even that cable TV, whoa, you are going to pay up. Now, may I direct your attention to the 800-pound gorilla in the room that doesn't cost you an arm and a leg? Me, your radio. Ever wonder who pays for all this? Announcers, people behind the scenes, and don't even get me started on music royalties, so you get your favorite songs for free. These unsung heroes are our advertisers. They make it possible for you to get this cool radio stuff for free. So why not thank them? That's right, support our advertisers. They've got great deals, important services, and more. It's almost like we went to the dictionary and looked up win-win. Let's review. Support our advertisers and keep radio free. Trust me, nobody wants a coin-operated radio.
Find out how radio can help promote your business to thousands of potential customers every week. Call me, Kevin Wadlinger, or go to NorthBayAdvertising.com.
The best. Each year, Sonoma County searches for the best. You voted Dr. Walter Tom, the Press Democrat, best cosmetic surgeon for the second year in a row. Why? He listens, he cares, and he and his team are highly skilled in cosmetic procedures, including Botox, fillers, lasers, hair transplants, smart lipo, tummy tucks, and breast augmentation.
Thank you to our wonderful patients who voted us the 2016 and 2017 Press Democrat Best Cosmetic Surgeon. We are again humbled by your kindness. We will work hard to help you get the best cosmetic results possible. The secret to our success? We believe we're all beautiful, and we love helping you see that too.
The best. A true professional with skills beyond the ordinary. Cosmetic surgeon Dr. Walter Tom. Contact his office today for a free consultation or visit his website at drwaltertom.com. drwaltertom.com. Look younger by Monday.
KSRO, AM, FM, and online. Depend on it.
Dave Barber and Grant Crandall from the Atlantic Seaboard Wine Association joining Chef John Ash and me, Steve Garner, in the KSRO Kitchen, our once-a-year get-together to taste some great wines coming out of the eastern portion of the United States of America. Now, here's a sign you don't often hear on the Good Food Hour when we're about to taste a beverage. What is that sound?
You know, it sounds like popping a can of Coke or something.
It is. It's wine in a can. What's the story about this wine, Grant?
Well, it comes from Vermont, and one of the challenges that people on the East Coast have in having producing wine is it has to be incredibly cold hardy. This is made up of two hybrids that were developed at the University of Minnesota by a famous developer there named Elmer Swenson. And so he named one of the varietals after his wife, Louise. And so it's Louise Swenson and La Crescent. And that's what the combination is predominantly. Shelburne is right on Lake Champlain, just south of Burlington, Vermont. Very cold area. But these hybrids handle temperatures down to 35 degrees below zero Fahrenheit.
Where did Elmer do his work?
He was in Wisconsin part of the time, but he was associated with the University of Minnesota. Okay. And that's where it comes from. The two primary programs that handle these cold hardy modern hybrids for University of Minnesota and Cornell.
So, I'm familiar with Shelburne as a village. It's also a famous cheese spot. There, they make some of the best cheeses in the world.
Well, and this would pair very nicely
in Shelburne
with some of their cheeses. Yeah. So, describe this if you, Grant and Dave, what descriptors would you use for this wine?
We get the fruitiness in there, the freshness of the grape, and this is the first time they've put something in a can. It's a 250 milliliter can, and they sell it as a four pack. And you get the fruitiness in here, hints of grapefruit possibly. Mm. And some citrus flavors, and just I think because Lake Champlain is very warm in the summertime, and Shelburne area is the banana belt of Vermont, there is such a thing as Vermont being a warm area, they do grow a lot, and it's a very relaxing summertime, refreshing drink that they put together.
Wow. And would you say I would just initially think Pinot Gris, kind of a coiffer kind of wine?
You know, it's a little rounder than Pinot Gris. Pinot Gris can be a little angular, terrible words. Well, but it's simpler. This is, I think, because of the fruitiness there. There's more to taste.
So I'm looking at, it's called, that's cute, Capsize. You drink too many of these, that's what you'll do in your boat. Vermont wines from Shelburne Vineyards, and it just says white. Well,
yes.
That's to the point. It says light, off, dry, and in your hand.
As you're holding it.
If you flip the boat, the cans will float. That's good marketing, isn't it? Grown, produced, and bottled by Shelburne Vineyards, Shelburne, Vermont. And here it is. What would you say? It's
250
milliliters. 250 milliliters. And these go for, what, $3 or $4 a can?
The four-pack, they sell for $14, $16. So it's $4 a bottle, a can.
Does anyone else? Well, let's see. Coppola?
Coppola does. Sophia.
Sophia.
In the can. And then, it's interesting. I was just reading some stuff recently. More and more people, the two things that are happening with distribution of wine are cans, because a can is actually a really wonderful closure, often better than something that's cork finished. And the other thing is doing wines on tap.
Yes.
Which is another way of keeping them fresh and all of that. So
wine on tap has become very popular for the wine by the glass program.
I was going to ask you, these East Coast wines are on tap?
There are some wineries do that for the local restaurants. Again, it's a growing area. It has to be one of the larger wineries that have the volume to do that, but I know there are some wineries beginning to do that.
Well, this was very refreshing. I would love this on a picnic.
Wouldn't it be great, on a barbecue or something like that, or with spicy food, Hispanic, Mexican food would be delicious too.
Do you have another white, or was this our white?
Oh, no, we do.
Well, you want to do another white?
Go to the Viognier now.
Oh, Viognier.
Viognier. Right.
Now, this is one of the vinifera that does well in our area because it has the thicker skins, the medium size, not large berries, and it also is a looser cluster. Those characteristics are common when you're looking for the kinds of wines that handle the humidity that we have out in our area. It's reasonably cold hardy, so it can handle unless things really get way down in temperature. And it now is the official white grape of Virginia by the Wine Marketing Board there. And it's grown really quite heavily on the East Coast.
I have have to say that there, I fell in love years ago with the Horton Viognier, which I think really sort of opened a lot of people's eyes to the fact that really delicious wine, it may be the best Viognier in America.
Yes. You know? Dennis Horton is a very big entrepreneur and grows lots of different grape varieties because we're still trying to figure out what grows best. And he was one that brought Viognier into Virginia. And it has taken off, and a lot of other vineyards are growing it and doing quite nicely with it.
He was actually the first one to bring a number of these varietals. He early on recognized the needs on the East Coast, so he brought Petit Mensang for the first time. He brought Albarino, which is doing well on the East Coast, so Tannat in addition. So he was sort of an innovator in recognizing what kinds of vinifera would do well there.
So can you speculate about what you think the East Coast the white wine grape and the red wine grape are going to be that really define East Coast wines, or is there not one?
East Coast is a long, big area.
Yeah.
So it depends upon where you are. If you start from the north and in New York, of course, Riesling would be the dominant white wine, and Cabernet Franc is doing fairly good there, Pinot Noir. But Riesling is definitely New York. Mm-hmm. Go down to Pennsylvania. It's sort of a mix, a little bit of everything. There's no one that stands out. Virginia, this Virginia Wine Board, as Grant mentioned, named Viognier as a state grape. Cabernet Franc is doing quite nicely, but then Norton is doing quite well, and Chamberson of the French-American hybrid grape doing well, and just a Petit Verdot is doing nicely in Virginia and elsewhere. North Carolina sort of follows the same trending, same styles as Virginia, because the climate is not too far off, especially if you get in the Yadkin Valley, the western part in the mountains. You get further south, you'll have some muscadines that'll do nicely.
Mm.
And muscadines, people sometimes stick their nose up to them, but some of them can be very nice. There are some drier muscadines that give you that flavor, but can be very nice. If you do 1% muscadine, is very interesting.
We grew up with that in Kentucky, where I grew up. There's a lot of muscadines growing. So this is from the Jefferson Vineyards.
Yes.
Is this Thomas Jefferson?
It's not Thomas Jefferson's vineyard per se, but it's from Charlottesville. And it was developed in the 1970s. I think the Italian came over and planted it, and it was sold a couple times, and it's now owned by the families that, and then named it the Jefferson Vineyard. And his signature is on the bottle, Mr. Jefferson. He didn't sign all the bottles personally, but the signature is there, and that's their logo they use as the Jefferson Vineyard.
Isn't that wonderful? Mm.
Well, just to pick up on that, a portion of the vineyards that Jefferson Vineyards owns is literally the land on which Thomas Jefferson attempted to plant his European grapes unsuccessfully. So he brought over an Italian winemaker, Filippo Mazzi, in 1774, and he planted them throughout and tended them as well as he could. But because they didn't recognize how to handle the disease pressure, they never succeeded. But that's literally why they've named it Jefferson and taken off from that.
Well, it's a lovely Viognier. Mm-hmm. Do you have a taste of it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very floral, very big, very bold. Balanced.
One of the things with Viognier sometimes, at least this is true of California Viognier, it can get too floral. You know, it's like you're eating honeysuckle or something, you know, with it, and it kind of dominates, takes over a little, and this doesn't.
No, it has the acid to stand through and cut through, and also the body in the wine, too. You have that floral and fruitiness coming through, but you have the follow through and gives you the full mouthfeel.
And it's nice because it's 13% alcohol, which is a great two. Jefferson Vineyards Viognier, Virginia, 2016.
So how much does a wine like this cost?
It costs $30.
Mm-hmm. Do we have another white?
We do.
Why don't we do another white before we take our break?
All right. We're going to move to the first of our two Petit Mensangs. This one's from Ingleside.
I like saying Petit Mensang.
Mm-hmm. Well, Petit Mensang is a grape originally from the southwest of France. There is also a Gros Mensang, or the Big Mensang. And this is just the Petit, because it has a smaller berry.
That's it. I'll be Petit, you'll be Gros.
And it's grown in that area, does some nice things. It's still not very popular in France, but in the area. And a couple of people saw that it had potential in the East Coast and brought it over. Petit Mensang can, depending how it grows, some people will make it a sweet wine. Some people make it a dry wine. Mm. And some people will do it one year to the next. They say, we let the grape do itself. If it wants to ferment dry, it ferments dry that year. If it stops fermentation and becomes a sweet dessert style wine, they do it that way. So it is very versatile.
besides the characteristics I mentioned before about the smaller berries and looser clusters, it has that feature, but it's the area it comes from in France has heavy rains. And one thing that's different from here on the West Coast, where you typically have your rain in a season from, say, October to March, and then it tends to be drier in the other season, we don't have that. We get rains throughout the year, and oftentimes in the last third of the growing season, we will have heavy rains in late August and September. So you've got to have wines that will not have the berries split. And this particular wine, having grown up, as it were, in the area of southern France where there is a lot of rain, handles that particular characteristic. That's one of the reasons it does well where we are.
And this is the Ingleside Plantation.
Yes, Ingleside Plantation.
Vineyards, Petit Mansang, 2015, 2% residual sugar.
Right. It just has a little bit off dry.
But so this just, be an aperitif maybe with cheese or after dinner?
Oh, it'd be great with cheese. Yeah, it'd be fantastic. You know, with just almost any cheese you could throw out. But especially, I think, harder cheeses, you know, the things that have a little more age to them.
That's quite good. I like this. But you don't see this in France very often? Or
you do, but again, in France, you have to know where the grapes grow to find that wine.
And so where, when you say southern France, where in southern France? What,
complete southwest, Illyricay is the one dominant area, which is, if you look at the jagged border of France and Spain, Illyricay is almost a peninsula that goes up into the Pyrenees into Spain. And it's in that general area where the Mansangs, the Petit Mansang especially comes from.
Right. I like this a lot. It's
I
a
do.
Good complexity, very smooth. I like the Viognier, but I think this is more complexity than the Viognier.
I think so. And again, with that little bit of residual sugar, spicy food. Yeah. You know, I mean, if you like Thai food or something like that, you can do it.
Does anyone in California do this wine, Petit Mansang, John, as far as
I'm not aware of.
I'm not aware of anything either. Superb. I know a lot of people are interested in it, but I don't know of anything growing here yet.
And there's one more Petit Mansang.
So if we have a vintner out there, get on it. Let's see what you can do with really this.
Good. Why don't we do, there's one more?
Yes.
Okay, let's try that one. And then the second half of the show we'll devote to reds.
Yeah, so this is another Petit Mansang, because a lot of wineries are doing it.
Oh.
And this is from the Jefferson, which we had the same winery as the Viognier. So it's just a different style. Well, it's roughly the same style, same sweetness level. But again, just a different winery, a different vineyard of growing the same grape.
We thought we'd bring two from a particular winery, which we haven't done in previous shows, because we wanted to show the variety of producers throughout the East Coast. But sometimes we get a question, well, maybe this winery can do a single wine. Maybe they happen to be able to get that done. This winery, from all the white range to the entire red range, fantastic wines. It's not a large winery, but it does a great job.
So do any of these see oak?
It depends upon the individual winery, but I think not. Most Petit Mansang usually not, although some do with these, I don't believe. And this is just a little bit drier. It's only 1.9, but it still has a sweetness
in it. But it's still really, really
but the
delicious.
The acid balances it and gives you that nice, not puckery flavor, but just very round salivation kind of a thing that really would go with any type of food, especially the cheese.
Well, I'd like both that we've tried, but I think this would be my favorite.
Me too. Yeah. This has a little pure fruit flavor to me. The other was delicious, but had a little oilier finish to me than this. This is really superb. This is good as...
Great. The acidity comes through, which
is really great.
Which really helps.
Yeah. Like a Riesling acidity.
Yeah.
Which is just terrific. So this is another Petit Mansang. This is a reserve from Jefferson Vineyards. Also 2000. This is 2016, 1.90 residual sugar, 13% alcohol, and it's $35. Is that for a 750 or?
Yes, 750.
Okay. We'll take a break at this point. We'll come back and we'll try some reds.
We can do that.
We have Grant Crandall and Dave Barber, both from the Atlantic Seaboard Wine Association. If your travel plans, possibly on the East Coast, you really should do one of these wine trail tours.
So where would people get information on those?
Well,
or just go online.
Go online, looking for things. Our website, ASWA, Atlantic Seaboard Wine Association, ASWAwines.org. We do have some links to wineries and also some other areas.
Good.
Or just any of the state you're looking for, any of their PR, any of the tourism area, should we be able to refer you to some wineries.
Steve Garner along with Chef John Ash in the KSRO kitchen.
FM News Talk Radio, North County 103.5, South County 94.5, KSRO.
Hi, I'm Jeff Davis of On the Wine Road, here once again to talk to you about Smothers European Volvo and the Volvo S60 sedan. Are you considering a luxury car but not sure which direction to go? I'll tell you, the Volvo S60 offers a range of personalities. You can choose the S60 Inscription, which is spacious and refined. It provides the most rear seat legroom of any car in its class and offers fine leather seats, accent lighting, and genuine walnut inlays. The sporty S60 Dynamic exudes attitude with its bold exterior. It harnesses 240 horsepower and yet can get as much as 36 miles per gallon. And the S60 Cross Country offers a luxurious ride for those of you with an adventurous spirit. It's all-wheel drive with an 8-speed automatic transmission. Right now, you can pick up a 2018 S60 T5 Inscription for just $295 a month for 39 months with $3,475 down. Visit Smothers European Volvo and choose the S60 that fits your personality. They're on the Corbiato Row and SmothersEuropeanVolvo.com.
Have you been involved in the recent fires and feel overwhelmed? I'm Cheryl, a displaced Coffee Park resident. I know you've been hearing lawyer ads for the PG&E case. You probably think, how do I choose a lawyer? Well, I found a great legal team. James France has won millions for clients in fire cases against companies like PG&E. He's been selected as a top lawyer by U.S. News for the last 8 years, and he's teamed up with the firms of McNicholas & McNicholas and Bridgeford, Gleason & Artinian. Together, they are fighting PG&E for us, and they'll also help you maximize your insurance. They're charging the lowest fees of all the firms that I've spoken to. California Wildfire Law Group. 707-236-6316. Hablamos Español. Meet them every Saturday and Sunday in January from 9 to 4 at the Hyatt Regency, 170 Railroad Street, Santa Rosa. CaliforniaWildfireLawGroup.com. The legal team with heart that's on your side.
This testimonial is not a guarantee regarding your case.
Servicios legales brindados por medio de asistentes legales que no son abogados.
James France, Patrick McNicholas, and Richard Bridgeford approve this message.
Here's something good for your soul Sunday mornings with the Center for Spiritual Living. Tune in at 8:30 and hear a half-hour message of practical spirituality from Edward Viljoen. You'll hear spiritual practices translated into inspirational ideas for everyday living. Spiritual Living with Edward Viljoen, Sunday mornings at 8:30. Think of it as spirituality for people who don't like church. That's Spiritual Living with Edward Viljoen, brought to you every Sunday morning at 8:30 on News Talk 1350 KSRO.
The February issue of North Bay Biz Magazine is out, and you do not want to miss it. This is Lawrence Amaturo, North Bay Biz Mag's new publisher, and this month we take an in-depth look at post-traumatic stress and how it has impacted fire victims and first responders. We dig deep into the new science of maternity care, as well as highlight the latest tips on staying vibrant well into your 90s. And finally, plastic surgeons from around the North Bay share their latest cosmetic procedures. Man, I could use some of that. So pick us up today, or for your free sample of North Bay Biz magazine, email us at sample@northbaybiz.com.
Flu season could be one of the worst in recent years. Widespread activity now reported in 49 states. The Attorney General of Michigan says no one will be off limits in an independent investigation into the sex abuse scandal at Michigan State University.
Visit the online store at DaveRamsey.com and see what you've been missing. That's DaveRamsey.com.
Bill Schuette ordering former federal prosecutor Patrick Fitzgerald to turn over documents in his investigation into the matter. The school had hired Fitzgerald to look into whether it was complicit in the decades-long abuse by Dr. Lack.
Sonoma County's most accurate, dependable forecast with KSRO's Daniel Trucios.
Partly cloudy weekend underway. Today, a few clouds at 60 degrees, 58 on the coast. Mostly clear skies tonight, low 38, 43 on the shores. Some clouds for Sunday at 68, 62 in Bodega Bay. Monday, mostly cloudy at 67, 65 on the coastline. Depend on weather every 30 minutes on FM News Talk 103.5 and 94.5 KSRO.
In the KSRO winery today, it's Steve Garner along with Chef John Ash, being joined by Grant Crandall and Dave Barber from the Atlantic Seaboard Wine Association, tasting grapes grown in the eastern portion of the United States. Before we head into the reds, what type of whites do you think are going to come on strong? Put on your crystal ball head here.
Well, and in addition to the two we've presented, the Viognier and Petit Mensang, which are quite popular in addition to Chardonnay on the East Coast, Albarino has really taken off on the East Coast. It comes from, of course, northwestern Spain and northern Portugal in an area that is very humid. And so it has the characteristics in terms of the berries and cluster that I've mentioned previously to handle humidity. And, and so it does well. And it's nice because it's a relatively high acid grape, and so that you can ripen it, have the full fruit flavors, and still retain decent acidity.
So are most of these vineyards, they're not down low. Most vineyards are up in the hills a little
usually
bit.
On some elevation or Piedmont Hill area.
Drier.
Yes. And another thing about Albarino, which is very nice on the East Coast, it's a late bud breaker. So it misses that chance of an early or a late frost kind of a thing. Mm-hmm. So it hasn't really budded out until after the all chance of frost has come through.
So vintners are planting Albarino now.
Yes.
We'll start to see those in the coming years.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
So turning to reds, what are we tasting first?
Well, this is a Cabernet Franc. Cabernet Franc seems to be better than Cabernet Sauvignon in Virginia because it usually ripens on a more consistent basis and on the East Coast. This happens to be the Lamoureux Landing wine cellars from New York, and it's an unoaked Cabernet Franc. So Cabernet Franc, as we know, is the parent of Cabernet Sauvignon and grows very nicely. You get some nice cherry flavors coming through, the softness.
Boy, do you. Holy cow.
And again, no inhibitions of oak. So you
have
just get the fruitiness.
Have we seen unoaked Cab Franc here in California, John?
I can't recall. But they should, maybe.
Because of some of the limited distribution of a lot of the wines, you haven't seen in the wine press, sort of the top wine press, as much coverage, although you're beginning to in the last 4 or 5 years. This particular wine, the one you're tasting here, was 90 points wine enthusiast.
Boy, like you said, it's explosion of cherry in the glass. Mm-hmm. The fruit really comes forward.
Duck.
Yes.
Gotta have this with duck.
This is
perfect.
This is in the Finger Lakes region.
Yes.
So this is upstate New York,
yes.
Basically. And have they always grown Cab Franc in there, or is this pretty new for
them? It's relatively new. Obviously, before Prohibition, they were growing a lot of reds, but it was more for the sparkling wine area. After Prohibition, the whites took over and the Rieslings, and they tried to replant Pinot Noir to have a sparkling wine region area come through, and that never took off. So they're trying to find out what would grow best. Originally in the 70s, 80s, they grew mostly white wines because of the weather and got all the red grapes from Long Island or elsewhere to make Finger Lake wines. Although they started growing things under which clonal varietals will grow the best, which varieties grow the best in the Finger Lakes. And Cabernet Franc seems to be doing well, and they're planting it, and it's very versatile, can handle the cold or around the lakes, keeps it not quite as cold. Mm-hmm. And that fruitiness comes through, and it sort of has a fit.
Do you know what else is nice about this? 12.5% alcohol, you know, which is... I think it's one of the complaints, quite honestly, about a lot of big California, you know, New World wines are that they've become so alcoholic that that all you can't get it to your nose without getting the blast of alcohol.
You will generally see that on the East Coast, both because of the climate that prevails there. More clouds, for example, means that you're not going to get quite as much ripening, but the varietals that are predominant and the influence of Europe. A lot of the consulting winemakers who've come in have come in from France and Italy, and then a lot of the local winemakers, they've hired people from South Africa, France, Italy, Belgium, and the like. The influence, because there's more similarity really to Central Europe and Northern Europe in the conditions, the influence is there. And so you do see a bit of more what we think of as finesse, less the high-powered, high-alcohol extracted, overripe versions.
Let's come back and we'll taste our final two Cabernet Francs. So out of the ones we've tasted at both at dinners with you guys and here, Cabernet Sauvignon, Merlot, Syrah, Cabernet Franc, I don't remember ever tasting a Zinfandel grown on the East Coast.
Almost never done. It doesn't work.
There are a couple of people who tried Zinfandel, and it was a fun effort, but it didn't
work.
And
then Pinot Noir, I don't...
Pinot Noir will grow in certain areas, but it's a tight skin and small cluster, or thin skin, and usually rots before it ripens.
And then we've had Petit Verdot, and the Petit Syrah. I think Cab Franc looks like maybe the vinifera that's going to work out the best, doesn't it?
The red one.
Okay, we'll come back and taste some more after this. It's the KSRO Good Food Hour. Steve Gardner along with Chef John Ash, joined by the guys from the Atlantic Seaboard Wine Association on the special show this Saturday.
North Bay play-by-play home of the Golden State Warriors and Oakland Raiders. FM News Talk Radio 103.5, 94.5, KSRO.
Do healthy eating habits fit into your New Year's resolution? Then shop the Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market for fresh local produce. It's important to know where your food comes from, and you can meet the local farmers and ranchers who raise quality, locally grown food products for you to enjoy. At the market, you can savor a variety of delicious prepared foods. The market offers fresh local ingredients for healthy dinners, a variety of quality meats from beef, chicken, and pork to seafood, along with seasonal fruits and vegetables. Taste the local goat cheese from Two Rock Valley Goat Cheese. Sample the wonderful baked goods, jams, spices, and pastas. Everything you need to create memorable, healthy dinners is at the Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market. Open year-round, rain or shine, Wednesdays and Saturdays, 8:30 till 1 at the Luther Burbank Center for the Arts. The Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market, where it's always fresh, local, and fun.
Highway heroes needed immediately. We've all been there. Keys locked in the car, flat tire or out of gas, dead car battery, or you need a tow. Wouldn't it be rewarding to be the champion that makes a difference in that person's day?
Crane's Towing is a leader in the industries of transportation and safety. They're looking for people with the ambition and drive to continue to keep Creams ahead of the pack. Are you a Class A driver looking for a great company to work for? Interested in learning the towing business? Creams is expanding and wants to add several drivers. With the largest fleet of medium and heavy-duty transport vehicles in the area, including a state-of-the-art 50-ton wrecker, you'll learn from the best. Openings for Class A and C. Creams will teach the right candidates.
Do honorable work and be a hero on the highway. Call Arlene at Creams, 588-1250. Competitive compensation and benefits. Creams Towing, 588-1250.
If tragedy has hit you or your loved ones during the North Bay fires, your property needs to be cleared and cleaned of any and all debris. You can choose who you want to clean your property. Call Dino LaMonica at Santa Rosa Debris Removal. Dino can handle the whole process from the complete cleanup to all the testing of the grounds and the soil so your property gets a clean bill of health. Even if you've opted in with FEMA, you can opt out. Dino will get the job done even quicker, usually in less than 2 weeks from start to finish. Call Dino LaMonica and he'll come to your property the same day, taking care of all the legal paperwork that needs to be completed. You've had a devastating experience and you need help now. Call Dino LaMonica to start the quick and efficient path to get your home and your life back. On your computer, type in SantaRosaDebrisRemoval.com. On your smartphone browser, type in SantaRosaDebrisRemoval.com.
Call 707-888-5633. 707-888-5633.
KSRO, AM, FM, and online. Depend on it.
Okay, here's your bonus question today. What was the United States' first viticultural organization? Anybody venture a guess? I don't hear any answers. I don't see any hands. It was 1789, the Kentucky Vineyard Society.
Are you kidding? Wow.
How about that? Yeah. Bourbon and wine. That's what civilized Kentucky. Yeah, yeah. So we're tasting, Cab Francs. We have our second of the third. Which is the second one we're tasting?
Sugarloaf Mountain.
Sugarloaf Mountain from Maryland. And it's an older winery, but a relatively good winery, and has done some nice Cabernet Francs. This one, particular one, has 8% Petit Verdot blended in it, but still is a varietal Cabernet Franc. So you do get that nice structure of the cherry flavors, but a little more body and some oak aging for roughly a year, 18 or 15 months of oak. So you have it's a little more rounder, the fruit is there, but the oak give you the structure and the body.
The winery itself sort of represents one of the trends on the East Coast. Initially, you had wineries where families own land. And that's simply how it was decided. There are viticulturalists now, of course, who consult. And there's a very famous one on the East Coast, Lucy Morton, who helps wineries initiate their program by deciding areas that are particularly good. This particular wine, we wanted to focus on Bordeaux blends. She consulted with them, determined their site, and I think it's led to some higher quality production.
So there are AVAs, there are appellations. Yes. I mean, defined appellations. Virginia. Like you referred to this one as Maryland. Is that an appellation?
No, that's a state. But within Virginia, Virginia's there, but we do have seven AVAs, federal AVAs, in Virginia itself. Maryland has one or two. Pennsylvania has a couple bordering ones in Lake Erie that goes across from Ohio to Pennsylvania and New York. New York itself has I think it's four or five different AVAs. But yes, we do have federally designed AVAs, but then when you don't fit in that, you default to the state.
It doesn't seem to be as important to sell your wine as it is here, where everyone is so micro-fixated on appellation, sub-appellation.
Exactly.
Whereas I applaud you for not having to go into that type of delineation. It's from Maryland. It's delicious.
Yes.
What else
do you like? Do you like it?
Do you like it?
Yeah.
But would you say this is more a kind of a California style?
You know, a little bit. It's a little bit of this whole craft. You know, in a way, there's a point of view that sort of says it's getting a little silly because ultimately it's in the hands of God who provides the raw ingredients and the a talented winemaker, beer maker. You know, that kind of stuff. So.
But with Petit Verdot, it has a little more grip, certainly more tannins in this wine than the first one did, which was lovely and fruity and simpler.
It was it was certainly lighter.
And it was on oak.
Also, the oak
plays into this, too.
And this is a little higher in alcohol, but still not a big bomb, you know, 15%, something
still
like that.
Still has the acid in there to balance any food pot pairing.
So this is Sugarloaf Mountain Vineyard. What a lovely name. In Maryland, a 2015 Cab Franc with some Petit Verdot, about, you said 18% or so. Mm-hmm. So let's take our final break and we'll come back and we'll talk about the Narmada Winery Cab Franc Reserve. And there's a great story involved in this wine, too. Steve Garner, along with Chef John Ash in the KSRO kitchen, our once a year salute to the great wines along the Atlantic Seaboard Wine Association. That when we return.
Hello, Sonoma County. I'm Digital Pro Kim Commando, and I'm here Sundays, noon to 3 on KSRO.
At Mary's Pizza Shack, even the commercials are homemade.
Vincent Luigi here to tell everyone about Mary's Share the Love specials. You're gonna love them. Get a large pizza with two traditional toppings, or get three giant meatballs and pasta with your choice of classic meat, marinara, or pesto sauce.
Plus a large Mary's or Caesar salad, just $25.
For four people, that's only $6.25 per person.
Even you can afford that, Vinny. So how about I make this free throw and you're buying?
And if you miss it, you take me and my girlfriend to Mary's. Date night sponsored by Luigi.
Oh, I got this.
Missed it.
Wait, let me try again.
Brick.
All right, one more.
Brick.
That was a warm-up.
Bricklayer.
Step back, you're in my line of sight.
All right, so I'll go pick up my girlfriend. We'll meet you at Mary's then.
I think this ball's flat. Is that rim regulation? Who turned the heat on?
Available for a limited time for dine-in, takeout, and delivery. Order online for all locations at maryspizzashack.com. Original recipes, original shack. Mary's Pizza Shack.
Do healthy eating habits fit into your New Year's resolution? Then shop the Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market for fresh local produce. It's important to know where your food comes from, and you can meet the local farmers and ranchers who raise quality, locally grown food products for you to enjoy. At the market, you can savor a variety of delicious prepared foods. The market offers fresh local ingredients for healthy dinners, a variety of quality meats from beef, chicken, and pork to seafood, along with seasonal fruits and vegetables. Taste the local goat cheese from Two Rock Valley Goat Cheese. Sample the wonderful baked goods, jams, spices, and pastas. Everything you need to create memorable, healthy dinners is at the Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market. Open year-round, rain or shine, Wednesdays and Saturdays, 8:30 till 1 at the Luther Burbank Center for the Arts. The Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market, where it's always fresh, local, and fun.
When it's time to install the cabinets and countertops, pros don't have time to wait around for the cabinets and countertops. So the Home Depot ships on-trend Hampton Bay cabinets and countertops with select finishes in as little as 48 hours. And during our winter kitchen and bath event, pros get 10% off bulk orders of 10 or more. Save time, save money. There's no better time. The winter kitchen and bath event for pros, going on now at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing, valid through March 7th.
Tune in every Thursday at 12:30 p.m. for Dr. Walter Tom of the Aesthetic Laser and Vein Center on KSRO's Ask the Expert show. Dr. Walter Tom can help create the body you've always wanted with laser body sculpting, skin regeneration, laser and vein therapy, and other specialized treatments. Look younger by Monday with Dr. Walter Tom on KSRO's Ask the Expert show every Thursday on 1350 a.m. and 103.5 FM KSRO.
KSRO, AM, FM, and online. Depend on it.
So we've got a few minutes left, and we have one wine left. Describe what we're going to taste.
This is the Cab Franc from Narmada. It's a relatively new winery on the East Coast. It's done extremely well. They're a Bordeaux blend, and last year San Francisco Chronicle was named best of class in the $35 to $45 range. What we're tasting is the Cab Franc from there, and there's a little story about that winery that I think is particularly interesting. There was a couple in India who had an arranged marriage at a very young age, and they became the owners of this particular winery when they moved here. One of the conditions of that arranged marriage, which was unusual, was that the woman would be able to pursue an education, and she did. She ultimately became a dentist, and her husband's an engineer. As part of her training, she got into chemistry. And so when they got towards the end of their careers, they decided to take on a new life. So she studied under probably the most famous winemaker in Virginia, Jim Law, for a while. They had a consulting winemaker initially, but now she's making the wine. So the one that was best of class last year at San Francisco Chronicle is hers. This wine here, which is the best in show, meaning it was the top wine of our competition this year, was also made by her.
And it's Sudha Patel and her husband Pandit. So Sudha and Pandit Patel are the owners of Narmada Vineyards, Narmada Wineries.
This is apropos nothing, but you don't think about Indians being in the... Do they drink wine? Of course they do.
Oh, yes, yes. And actually, in India, there are more wineries and more vineyards growing and more wineries.
Yeah, I guess that's right.
In certain areas.
Yeah, yeah.
But again, it's not the beverage of choice in India, but there are so many people, but it is a growing area.
Interesting.
And you mentioned she studied with Jim Law, who's kind of like the Robert Mondavi of Virginia, would you say?
From almost, yes.
Linden Vineyards?
Linden Vineyards is Jim's, yes.
But she made this wine.
Yes.
Yes, Sudha did.
Narmada Winery. And this is the Cab Franc Reserve. And this won an award.
It was our top wine at our competition.
Gold medal, best of category, and then all the best of categories go together, and this was chosen as the best of show.
And again, Petit Verdot.
Has some 14% Petit Verdot in there just to round it out and give you a little more body and a little more structure and just a little more variation there, or there's a little more structure.
And even with all the disease problems on the East Coast, this winery, like several others, has tried to go sustainable. It's a harder thing to do under the conditions that we have, but it's a sustainable winery, and I think it's reflected in the fine fruit that they have.
Do you know what's interesting? They must have a different oak protocol, too, because this isn't tannic, and it isn't, puckery and all of that. Like, not going to have to wait 8 years before you drink it. Yeah,
they don't tend to use new. They tend to use the used oak barrels all the way to neutral, but not typically first year.
And this particular one is the 2013 vintage, which is the Reserve Cabernet Franc.
This is the Narmada Winery Cab Franc Reserve from Virginia 2013 with a blend of Petit Verdot. Could you send me this in a little email form and we can put this up on our website?
I can do that.
People would probably like to follow up on some of these wines if they're planning on journeying east and seeing if these wines are available. Well, again, it gets better every single year when you guys come out as far as tasting these tremendous wines from the Virginia area of our country. You got to take it seriously. some great wines coming out of this area.
We really enjoy it. We appreciate your having us back.
So, Grant, yes. Dave, same time next year.
Sounds like a plan.
19 January.
We'll do it.
That sounds good. Like, we're going to have a great winemaker on next week, too,
yeah.
John.
Yeah.
And who is that?
John Bixtenstein, who I've worked with for years and years. Actually, he and I were partners in a winery for a number of years. So.
He has a new book.
He does.
On terroir.
Yeah, yeah.
And it will be a stunning hour of chat next week. So if you're
well, he is fantastic because he's able to, he's the most knowledgeable guy in the world, but he talks so that the common man can understand.
We need a lot of that. I'm Steve Garner for John Ash in the KS Auto Kitchen. Join us next week along with Garden Talk. Following the news, it's Clark Wolf at the table. This is KSRO Santa Rosa.
FM News Talk.